Chapter 9. Millennium Alert. Early in December 1999, the head of CIA's Counterterrorism Center, Kofor Black, called me. "We have to go to battle stations." "Kofor, it's not Friday," I joked. It had become something of a tradition that either Black or FBI Assistant Director Dale Watson would call on Friday afternoons with late-breaking news that would cause us to spend the weekend in the office. We called the regular Friday afternoon counterterrorism security group meetings the Friday Follies. "No, Dick, this is the real deal," Black insisted. "Jordan infiltrated a cell, planning lots of bang-bang for New Year's. The Radisson Hotel, Christian tourist sites, lots of dead Americans. Deal is, Dick, I don't think this is it. You know bin Laden. He likes attacks in multiple locations. They're like cockroaches. You see one, but you know that means there's a whole nest of them." Kofor Black was a hard-charging, get-it-done kind of CIA officer who had proved himself in the back alleys of unsavory places. He was what the CIA needed a lot more of, but had little of. I had urged George Tenet to find such a guy to run the Counterterrorism Center, someone who shared Tenet's view and mine that we had to go on the offensive. Unfortunately, Black reported to Tenet through CIA's Deputy Director of Operations, Jim Pavitt, and Pavitt thought both Tenet and I were exaggerating the whole Al-Qaeda threat and would get the CIA in trouble. Now, however, Black had proof that Al-Qaeda was planning attacks around the Millennium rollover. In the months leading up to Kofor's call, much had been done to reduce our vulnerabilities at home and abroad. We had hundreds of foreign diplomatic facilities in over 180 nations. Many were so vulnerable that they invited attack. The institutional culture of the Department of State, however, resisted protecting the embassies. U.S. diplomats hated being housed in fortresses, walled off from the societies that they were supposed to be serving. If there were new funds, the Department of State had many things it would do with the money other than build more fortresses. I found this attitude dismaying. I knew that Madeleine Albright would understand the problem. After a principal's meeting in the West Wing, I had asked to speak one-on-one, and we walked together up West Executive Drive while her motorcade waited. "What do you think will happen if you lose another embassy? The Republicans in the Congress will go after you." I had her attention. She shot back. "First of all, I didn't lose those two embassies. I inherited them in the shape they were." Then, the Secretary of State, realizing that I was a friend who had tried to help her get the job, smiled coyly at me. "I know you, Dick. You have a plan. What is it you want me to approve?" "Share the burden. These embassies don't just house State Department people. They have staff from a dozen agencies in them. Let's get them on the hook, too." With Secretary Albright's approval, the White House took on the embassy security mission. I sent teams of diplomatic security, Secret Service, FBI, FEMA, and Defense Department experts to cities around the world to survey our embassies the way a terrorist would. What streets did we need to close to prevent a truck bomb from getting too close? Were there enough local police, and were they doing their job? Where did we need machine guns and fire zones?